All right, let's chat with Dan Murphy before I dig myself into more of a hole. What's going on, Murph?
Not a whole bunch. I'm good at digging holes myself. Good portion of my career.
it's usually how it works. Mikko Koskinen digging himself a pretty good hole here with Edmonton Oilers fans. Not rebounding quickly last night after that performance. But let's focus on the Canucks.
He was about in the same shape as Cheech and Shorty in the first period, to be honest. you guys catch that? Marcus Naslund was playing last night.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it was.
It was called Marcus Granlund, Marcus Naslund.
Marcus Granlund wishes. Come on.
You would think after watching Granlund for a few years, Shorty would know better. But
I think there was another time. And listen, I can criticize Shorty because as soon as I make any mistake, the two are texting me right away, laughing at me. But on the air. But one of the better ones a while ago, whenever Volpatti was playing with the Canucks, he had a scoring chance, and Shorthouse called him Todd Warner. And Todd Warner hadn't been with the Canucks for like 10 years, but Warner loved it because he heard about it, and his kid said, "Hey, you really did play hockey." Yeah, see? Huh?
Savage.
That's pretty good. What was your big takeaway last night? It seems the talk centering around Adam Gaudette, but I guess the hard part is, Murph, you know, as well as Gaudette plays, it's still hard to see where he fits on the roster.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I find preseason hard no matter what, really evaluating because of the lineups. And, you know, it's not 100% effort from everyone. But, I mean, it's better to stand out than to not stand out. And I thought that kind of after a slow start in camp and the first couple preseason games, Gaudette was very good. His speed was evident. His offensive capabilities were shown a bit because, I mean, that was his trademark at Northeastern. He was a very good offensive player. So, you know, I think it was a very good performance for him. I don't see a way for him on the opening day lineup. Just because I know there's a lot of talk out there, the Canucks are trying to move a contract or two, but I don't think there's an appetite, at least not from Travis Green, to move a center at this point. I think they're a little gun shy about injuries and what that's done to the club the last, well, whatever, 3-4 seasons. And I think they worry that if, you know, I mean, Beagle went down on the first road trip last year with a broken hand, and Sutter went not too long after that. And I think they're a little gun shy about moving out of center. So I just don't see him starting the season with the big club. And I don't think there's much of an appetite to play him on the wing at this point. So I don't think it would be long for a call up. Obviously, he's the first center to be called up. And I still think it's probably good. He's got, what, 50 odd games in the league. It's still good for him to go down and play at the American Hockey League level. I think he could be a very good player down there, get some confidence like he did near the end of last season, and then bring that up when they're ready to call him up. So, overall, obviously, you want to play well no matter what, if it's preseason or scrimmage, and I thought that Gaudette was one of their better players.
Yeah, Murph, I'm with you. I think the organizational depth is not quite there at center, so trading a guy at this point in time, I don't know if that's the smart move when it comes to Sutter or anybody else for that matter. Sven Berchi, some pretty good play with JT Miller and Bo Horvat last night as well, but there was also a few moments where he got hit pretty hard, and he passed that test as well. Did you know, when a player comes back from a concussion and you know, at certain points last year, even considering whether he wants to play hockey, was that something that you kind of held your breath and wanted to see how he reacted last night?
Yeah, a little bit. And this is like, we go back to the end of last season. I think, you know, there was a lot of us questioning, why would he come back and play in one of those last, you know, couple of games? Like, why would they chance it? And I think it was more for Sven. Sven didn't want to go into the off season wondering if he could play, wondering if he could take a hit. So I think those games that he played right at the end of the season were more for his mental well-being to go into the summer and say, okay, I'm all right. I have recovered. I can train. And I can try to make myself, a real solid player for this team again. So, I don't think there was any hesitation from Sven last night. I think the big thing for him right now is to try to show the organization that even though he played, what, 26 games last year, that, hey, don't count me out of the top six. I'm a 26-year-old player. I've got offensive capabilities. I'd like to push for one of those spots. And, you know, I think that that's probably fair. I mean, I think we believe that Pearson is probably going to start with Horvat and Miller. But, I mean, if Berchi is also a guy that you can slot in there, or even if you're a team now that truly believes you can have three scoring lines, then that's a great sign that he is 100% healthy and his timing and his legs are back under him.
We saw in a video that the Canucks sent out last night, an all-access video, Travis Green mentioned playoffs and to his group, and you know, over the course of the weekend when it was during training camp. And we haven't heard that a lot coming from anybody from the Canucks organization over the last couple of years. How, you know, what do you take away hearing that and knowing that the team is being very upfront with it and public now that they've, you know, made some moves to get back into that conversation?
Well, I think now is the right time to do it. You know, I don't believe last year was the time to do it. I think you say the right things the last couple of years. We want to be a team that competes, that has a chance to make the playoffs. But absolutely, you're a cap team now. You've got the reigning Calder Trophy winner. You've got a Calder Trophy finalist from the year before. You've got another very good young defenseman in Quinn Hughes. You brought in what you believe are legitimate top six players to play on the wing, which they sorely needed. You upgraded your defense. So, you know, it's not a guarantee. I mean, they jumped 8 points in the standings last year. They're going to have to jump another 11 to 15 to make it this year. But I think that since, you know, the front office went out and made these moves, you have to put the onus on the coach and the players now to say, okay, it's time. It's time that this team, you know, believes that it is a playoff team. And I think you're absolutely right if you're Travis Green now to be mentioning that and say, this is the goal, guys. If we don't make the playoffs, then I think we failed a bit. Now, I don't believe that. I think if they jump 10 points in the standings and miss the playoffs, I think that's still another significant step in the right direction. But if you're a member of the organization, you absolutely have to believe that you're a playoff team.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Dan Murphy here on Reach Deep. Dan, today they're talking about power play at practice today. You had the multiple units out there working on the power play. And after practice, Travis Green mentioned and was asked about loading up on the power play or do you have more balanced units? It seemed like he wants to go with the balanced units kind of component there. But, you know, if one unit is probably going to be playing at least 90 seconds of that, where do you think the Canucks end up? Do they go with that super unit with Besser, Pettersson, Horvat, and many others? Or are you going to do you think from a time management point of view that there could be two equal units that Green decides to go with?
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to be equal. I think you would like to have a little more balance, obviously, but they're never going to be equal units. And we see that because on that first unit, you have Pettersson and Besser and Hughes and Miller. And I think kind of the only, you know, raise your eyebrows a bit that it was a Levo, but maybe that's Ferland's spot. You never know because he was sick. He couldn't skate today. So, but that drops down, you know, a guy like Bo Horvat to the second unit. You've got Edler and Myers on that second unit. So I think all of a sudden you're obviously seeing that you have a chance for both of those units to score, which hasn't been the case with this team, especially not last year. The power play was pretty good in the final season with the Twins. So I think you always have to still load up that first unit a bit because, as you said, the majority of the time they're going to play a minute to a minute 30 before the second unit gets the chance. But the fact that you can have a second unit, say the Besser-Pettersson line's just been out for a long shift and they draw a penalty, you can drop that second unit out there and have a good chance to score. I think that you know, that's got to be the main goal at this point.
How has Besser looked to you, and what do you think about where he stacks up this season with this team now that the contract is all done and ready to go?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say because it was the special teams work today, but he's had two hard days, and then a lighter skate yesterday when the team was in Edmonton. So the real first test will be tomorrow in Salt Lake. But I think it's great that this team has, four games left. I'm not sure how many he'll get, at least two, maybe three. So I think that is a real positive, considering this guy, 4 days ago didn't have a contract. I think He's made strides his full seasons. And for me, it's the whole thing. I want to see how his skating looks. If that's improved a little bit in the off season. I think he came to camp last year a little bit too big, and that was a product of missing what, 7-8 weeks of training because of the back injury sustained in March. So for me, I want to see what his quickness looks like, because I think we all saw at the beginning of last year, October, November, he wasn't able to create that little bit of time to get his shot off, and his shot is his most dangerous weapon. So if indeed we do get a chance to watch the stream tomorrow, I'll kind of be looking at if he can find a little time and space with his skating or his quickness to get shots off, because that's the main thing with Besser. If he's doing that, he's going to be dangerous.
Murph, appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, see you guys later. Marcus Naslund forever.
Thanks, Murph.